This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to a very hot and steamy FUBAR Radio. It's me, Lizzie Cundy.
And me, Stephen Lang. Welcome to Access All Areas.
Wow, this is a hot one, guys.
It sure is, isn't
it? I'm not
it?
Complaining. Don't complain because it will rain like it did the other day.
Well, we've got another couple of weeks of it, haven't we, apparently?
I'm so pleased.
It's so hot, you've just ordered an ice cream.
I have. I don't want a wine. I don't want a fucking tonic. I want an ice cream. But I might be having some gin later.
Well, yes, because we've got... This is exciting, to be fair. And something we've never actually done on the show, I don't believe. Have we? No, I don't think we have.
No.
So we have Seb from Manchester Gin coming in, who is going to be doing a little live on-air tasting.
Wow. So glad I'm not driving.
So I think we're in for a good little time
with
him,
thirsty,
aren't we?
We're very thirsty, and I've just sent them off to get ice creams because I'm like so hot. I've got a convertible roof. So I've took the roof down, tunes are up, and I actually thought, my God, I'm getting sunstroke. The sun was beating down on my head in the traffic.
Well, now you can cool off with your ice cream and your gin. So how fabulous is that going to be?
And I've cut all my hair since the last year.
Yeah, so you've had a bit of a makeover.
It's very short.
A make under. Well, they gave you a make under on the show. I wouldn't necessarily say you were made under now.
I'm sorry, It's quite stripped back from what I used to be like.
You've got bright pink lashes.
Well, I've got lipstick on, yeah. But It's more natural.
Yes, I would say I would agree with you, and I think your hair looks very nice. So you did a bit of a make-under on Lorraine, right?
A bit of a make-under. They took out my hair extensions, cut off a whole boob's worth of hair. It's a whole length of my boob. That was a good 4 or 5 inches.
So,
and that's enough for anyone, let me tell you. No. I was quite shocked. And they blackened the mirrors. I couldn't see what they were doing. So it was a legitimate shock.
You said on the show, oh, my God, I'm going to cry. I wondered if you meant cry because you were sad.
No, but I have to say, I think a lot of girls listening to the show understand. You get attached to your hair. And, I've always had long hair, always, since a little girl. So to have it all whipped off...
I would still describe it as mid-length,
It's
not...
It's shoulder, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I got Pam Ewing today. I was quite happy with that.
But you've got... Yeah,
in a heyday,
But, I mean, you've gone blonde.
I've gone lighter.
So you... And you've... I mean, it's a complete...
blonde.
Blonde it...
Lighter.
Okay, lighter, fine.
Streaked.
Yeah, not blonde. Not like bleach blonde. But
streaked.
You... So you've had this whole experience has obviously been quite a little makeover for you.
Well, it is, because obviously Shirley Valentine, our Shirley Valentine Summer, which is on tonight, ITV 9 PM, which you're all going to be watching.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually really did help me in lots of ways. It's very rewarding for me. Mm-hmm. I took it really seriously, and it tonight is actually quite emotional for me.
I liked in the second episode, you and the ladies take over a taverna.
We took over the red. Well, I had to be boss. It was very hard. I thought, oh my God, I've got boss Nancy Dio.
But she actually did all right, Kate.
She came good. Good editing, let me tell you. Oh, she did come up trumps. And it was tough because people were turning up for tables of four with table, like 12 of them. Like, I brought my grandmother and my great-great-grandmother. I'm like, Granny
Were they all
out.
Greeks that
all
turned
Greek.
Up? Right, okay.
And it was their taverna that they go to every Friday night. And he said, it's what happens. They turn up and they bring all their family. They say table of four, 11 turn up. I was like, well, cheers for that.
It's not like how it would be in London.
No,
you get turned away.
No, at the Ivy, darling. But I know, it was really tough. I don't know whether it portrayed it enough, whether
it was very smooth, to be fair, I thought.
It was, but I enjoyed it very much.
Well, and it's proven to be a cracking show. You're even on the front cover of the Telegraph
darlings,
today.
Oh, darlings, on the front cover. My I couldn't believe it because my agent texted and said, you're on the front cover of the Daily Telegraph. I said, you mean the Star? They went, no, the Daily Telegraph. My mum was so chuffed.
Oh.
She couldn't believe it.
What were they saying?
No, it's just about summer flings. Do they work?
I see.
And, it's about finding love. And the show tonight is very emotional for me because I go back and find my first ever love. And we find him in this Greek little village, and he's the mayor of the village. I don't know how much they're going to show because I haven't seen the show,
mm-hmm.
but it's an emotional journey. And I also see my new love, Yanis.
The very gorgeous Yanis. I'm very jealous. He's right up my street, to be honest.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He's not up your street, darling. Just let you know.
No, but, you mean I'm not up his street.
Yes,
yeah.
Hands off. No, he's actually very sweet.
It would be quite rare, I think, that you and I would fancy the same person, but with him.
He's got a very sexy wolf eyes and got a nice personality. He's very sweet and funny. He's, luckily for me, speaks great English.
Is he coming over?
He's coming over, yeah.
Okay.
I'll get him on the show.
Do.
I said, you're famous.
I'd like to meet him.
But he was so sweet. I got off the plane. He texted me and he said, how is it? I said, oh, you want to know how the show's looking? He said, no, I just want to know about you. I don't care about the cameras. I was like, oh, sweet.
Be careful he doesn't take you for all your money.
True. Mother's already said that.
You've got to be careful of these people. You know what I mean?
But he's a sweet guy. He owns his own business. He's got his own hotel, bar, club.
Well,
go and see him when you go there.
I will. I'm actually planning on taking a little holiday to Greece next year.
You should go to Naxos. It's fantastic. No, but the show's really good tonight. I advise everyone. I haven't seen it myself, but it's very emotional and dramatic. All the ones you want tonight.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
There's been another bit of news today, which I actually wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
Have you seen that Jennifer Aniston has done a big tell-all interview?
Yes, she has.
Have you seen what she said about having children? So obviously people know Jennifer Aniston from Friends.
Mm.
And she has said in this interview, for years and years she was with Brad Pitt. And then she was with Justin Theroux.
Yeah.
And everyone's always like, when's she going to have a baby? When's she going to have a baby? And she just hasn't, right? She just has never done that.
Pressure.
And in that interview, she said that she feels that maybe she's put on this earth to do something else. She doesn't feel like she should be like thrown on the scrap heap because she's not a mother. What do you think of that?
Yeah, and I feel for her because there are reasons why people don't have kids. I mean, one of my besties, Anthea Turner, hasn't had children. Though she has, you know, got stepdaughters, taken on grants as her own, and they adore her. But she hasn't, and there are reasons why. And I think people presume, oh, you're selfish, you're busy on your own life, you know, you can't be bothered to have kids. And it isn't the case. And usually there are certain reasons and circumstances why women haven't had children. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew from an early age I really wanted kids. I mean, I was desperate to be a mum from the age of like 20. I just wanted to have, and I had my boys very, very early. And now I'm living my youth now. But, you know, and it's tough. And I think there are reasons. And Kelly Brook was on Loose Women today and saying mm-hmm. her reasons, who's, you know, she's miscarried twice. And it just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And
it's not destined for everyone.
It's
right?
not destined for everyone. And the moment, the timing, the right person, sometimes it just doesn't work out. And it might be just that you don't gel. It doesn't happen with that person. It could with someone else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sandy Franthia, she's like Jennifer, that's, you know, it's unlikely it will happen.
Yeah. What do you make about with Jennifer, though? Because obviously there's been, over the years, I feel like she's a bit like Kylie, right? Mm. There's a lot of, like, people just speculate. Then for Kylie, obviously she's 50 now. It doesn't mean she couldn't have one. Just look at Bridget Nielsen. She just had a kid at 54.
Well, I know, but that's
pretty unlikely. But
it is pretty unlikely. And
but what do you think about Jen coming out and saying it?
I think it's very brave of Jen. I think it's really brave. And there has been a lot of speculation about her. And she's been, I mean, every romance has been portrayed in the press as a disaster, you know, from Brad leaving her friend, you know, one of the most beautiful women in the world. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel for her.
Yeah.
And she's had a lot of people judge her. And I think it's really sad to be judged for not being a mum when maybe in your heart you really, really wanted to be a mum.
It just didn't happen.
And it just didn't happen.
Yeah. Okay.
And I actually feel for her. I think she's really brave. And I think it's a very brave interview.
Good.
And she's one of my favourites. I've met really? Her, interviewed her, and she was absolutely adorable.
Have you met Lisa Kudrow?
I've met them all, Dave.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I've met them all, but she was absolutely charming.
I tend to find the bigger the star, the more charming they are.
Exactly. John and actually Cruise, the more so adorable.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember doing a red carpet with Helena Bonham Carter. She was hilarious. Nothing was off the And then you get someone from, you know,
Towie,
you can't ask little all these questions squeak. To.
Yeah.
And you're like, who's made these decisions? Like,
it's always the ones that are high end. It's always the ones that are trying to come up. Well, because your hard work.
Yeah, that's true. Because I guess once you've made it past a certain point, you really don't care what the tabloids write about you. No. Within reason, right?
I mean, look at Sharon Stone. She was so sweet to me. Now I said, I like a necklace. She gave me a necklace. I mean, I couldn't
that
believe
happened to,
it.
Do you remember, did you hear about Ollie Willoughby saying about Tara Palmer Tomkinson?
No.
She said she only met her a couple of times, but they met in a bar, like they were with mutual friends. And Holly went to, oh my God, I love your necklace. And she went, oh, this bit of turn. And it was like a Chanel necklace and just gave it to her. What is it with these celebrities giving away their expensive jewellery?
Yeah, but they're not all like that, darling.
Well, no.
They really aren't. And can't see some of them on Towie doing that.
No, definitely not. Gemma Collins, for instance.
I don't mind Gemma. She likes the show. She's been very kind about my show, Shirley Valentine.
Oh, well, good for her.
Yeah, she's enjoying it. Because it's women feel good show.
It is a very good show.
But the boys are watching it too, and I'm glad you've watched it.
I've watched it.
Does your mum like it?
My mum loves it. She said that she actually messaged me to say she really enjoyed it.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. I'm really pleased. Well, tonight's a real corker. Get the tissues out. That's all I can say.
All right, babes, will do. Shall we play a little song?
Oh, please. What have we got today? Is it one of yours?
It's one of mine, but I think you're going to like it. And then we'll get Seb in. And then we also forgot to say we've got Laura Crane from Love Island coming up afterwards.
Gorgeous. I've got so many questions to ask.
Yeah, Love Island's all over, but still got plenty of questions.
Look, I'm dressed for Love Island.
You are, to be fair.
In my little shorts, denim shorts, Daisy Dukes.
They are some Daisy Dukes, babes. Let's have a little bit of Janet Jackson. Oh, well, I would introduce Lizzie, but she's got a lolly in her mouth.
Very nice lolly, it's true. I'm sorry, it's so hot in here. But it's a very nice twister, but there's something even nicer in the studio.
There is. There is. The very gorgeous Seb.
Oh, thank you very much. Very kind.
From Manchester Gin.
Yes.
And we've got some little tasters right in front of us right now.
Yes, so in front of you, you've got our raspberry-infused Manchester Gin with a Mediterranean tonic. So I thought the sun's shining.
Wow.
What a better way to enjoy it than a quick radio show and some gin.
Oh,
yeah,
how
I'm
fantastic.
Very much into
Can
it.
Can I say I'm very partial to a nice gin and tonic.
You are.
I am. I do. It's so refreshing if you're like in the heat today after a hard day's work, a nice gin. But yours are very they're different. They've got a little something special, haven't they?
Well, we've got three what I would say in the core range. So I mean, our signature one started life as basically a passion of love, I suppose. And it was all based around me and my fiance trying to create our perfect gin for us. So I think when we started, we always said that at worst, if we failed, we'd have a really expensive ornament in the shape of a copper still and 100 bottles of gin we'd want to drink.
Which is great, right? That can take you for a year or so.
Well, I mean, let's go yeah.
So is that why you got into it? Because you were personally into gin rather than another spirit? Or?
Well, to be honest, I mean, the whole sort of story of Manchester Gin, we always say, and it's on the back of every bottle, it's a love story. So it all started about 5 years ago when I was out with two friends and they were chatting up two women.
Oh.
And I know, it left me as fifth wheel. And having got bored and not said a word for 2 minutes, I said, and sadly this is where the romance starts, I said, I'm going to go speak to the nearest unattended woman. And much as I regret those words, they do still amuse me. But luckily for me, Jen was the nearest girl to me. And I walked over, and the first thing I ever said to her was, "What are you drinking?" And the first word she ever said to me was, "Gin and tonic." And it would have been okay had it not been for the fact we're in a rum tiki bar.
So not really an option.
No. So, well, it started a whole conversation about who knew more about gin. And that's where the love affair started, really.
Wow. And now it's obviously going quite well.
It's obviously going very well.
It's not going too badly. I mean, the company itself has been going about 2 years. No, just over 2 years. But we started from very sort of humble beginnings. So a combination of many factors, one being we didn't have a great deal of money when we set up.
No one ever does, right?
No, I know, yeah. I don't know where all this money comes from. None of it came our way.
Shame.
But we had a spare dining room. And that's essentially where we plumbed our still into, which is called Wendy.
Oh.
Wendy the still.
I love Wendy.
So what does the still do?
So the still, basically, we would put our neutral grain spirit in, which is essentially, some distillers might have to dress it up, it's vodka.
Okay.
And we redistill 96% vodka with lots of different botanicals, the main one being juniper, to create gin.
Oh, wow.
So is that where most clear spirits come from then? They originate as a vodka?
It's a neutral grain spirit. So yes, right. Ultimately it does exactly what it says in the tin, really. It's neutral. It's okay. Made from grain and it's boozy.
Do you know what? I was told gin is the best drink you can drink because I had a bit of a problem with my throat and they said, don't stop drinking champagne, wine.
Stop drinking champagne.
You were like,
champagne.
No, I can't.
I can't possibly.
And they said the best drink you can have is a gin.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I would definitely say that's real advice.
You would. You do have that. Well, listen, you've done so well. You've won a double gold in the San Francisco World Spirits. You've done so well, which is one of the most prestigious, isn't it?
It is. And do you know what? I always say we're really fortunate because, again, when me and Jen started down this path, it wasn't to, you know, try and take over the world. Ultimately, we set this business up so that we could work together. We're that really annoying, irritating couple that actually really get on. And
God damn you.
I know.
I have no interest in this.
I'll give you more gin if you listen.
Okay, I'm listening.
Okay.
I need to find one of those.
Yeah, well.
So, but we're that really irritating couple. So we genuinely set the business up so that we could work together and would hope people would like our gin. So we're, you know, like I say, really fortunate that, you know, our signature recipe has pretty much won every gold medal there is to win in the world. And, you know, it sits as one of the, you know, in the judges' eyes anyway, one of the best gins in the world. So
only 2 years in as well.
Only 2 years in, and that recipe, like I say, started life in our dining room. And well, the original
That's
recipe.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Love that story.
It's, and do you know, it's, you know, there's a lot of, when we do a lot of events, people always say, oh, that's not a real story. And it's like, no, I'm the guy.
It's me. It really happened.
But that is really inspirational, really, because anyone can start up and do it themselves, like you guys did, just from a chat at a bar.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big advocate in going out drinking.
Which is lucky.
Yeah. Right. But I think, you know, like you say, certainly creating gin, it's there's a tough road to go down, but the artisanal sort of side of gin making now, there's so many people doing it, and I would recommend anyone go give it a go, because literally you sort of never know how far and how well it can go, really.
Well, yeah, and it's not just gin, right? I mean, there's a lot of micro breweries out there these days doing different things. I live in London Fields, and the London Fields brewery is, I think it's been taken over now, isn't it, by some. But anyway, like, they, you know, there's a lot of this going on in the world. Is it quite a competitive market, do you find?
Do you know what? I think there are two sides to that story. So we actually distill now, so we're not in the dining room anymore, I should point out. We've got a full team and a full distillery. I know. But ironically, our distillery is on Temperance Street. For those that don't know, that's the movement for not drinking alcohol. But on our road, we're on technically what's called Brewer's Mile in Manchester. And there are, I think I'm right in saying, 15 breweries on that road.
Oh, my word.
And so I've distilled a gin-inspired beer with Manchester Brewing Company, for instance. And, you know, if you're talking about the sort of friendship between sort of breweries, he rang another brewery four doors down and was like, I'm looking to create a citrus IPA. Can you help me with a recipe? And it was just given. And so there is that sort of, when you're sort of in the artisan world, it's not against, not so much us against the sort of big boys, but there is that sort of community that,
yeah,
you know, ultimately.
Because are you against Gordon's? Can we mention their names? Are you like, you bastards?
Do you know what? I mean, that's what I drank when I first started drinking gin. It's what my granny drank when she first started drinking gin. I wouldn't really talk negatively about any gin.
No.
I'd just say that the revolution has started, so to speak, with the gin world, and it's all about provenance. It's all about picking out different flavours. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so many fantastic gins out there. I think there's just a huge boom going on and a huge sort of resurgence in actually picking up those different flavours.
Well, I have to say, this raspberry one is lovely.
Well, thank you very much.
This is so nice.
I'm a bit dubious about a flavoured spirit, but that is actually really lovely.
Because you've got four signature flavours, right?
Yes.
So what
well, in the
say?
Range, so our signature, which is the first gin we ever made, and you shouldn't have a favourite, but this is my favourite. It's the first gin we ever made, and so that's more of a sort of contemporary style gin, so it's sort of citrus-led. And across all of our gins, because we're called Manchester Gin, we wanted to do something that was inherently Mancunian. So I don't know how many listeners know Dandelion and Burdock.
Yeah.
That I literally just saw that and I was like, oh my God, you're taking me back to my youth. My dad is from the north and we used to drink Dandelion and Burdock all the time.
On a Friday night, fish chips and a D&B.
Yeah, lovely. Do you have any of that with you?
I don't.
So God damn it.
It's in all the gins though. So yes, we do. But we actually hand forage. And I suppose when I say we hand forage the Dandelion and Burdock, I'm probably overstating my part in that by 100%.
Got it.
So Jen, my fiancée, is the one that goes out every 6 months with a wellies on and a spade and actually digs it up around Manchester.
Wow. I love that.
Hardcore.
Because
yes.
I have to say, I love the raspberry. I'm a bit of a raspberry.
So what else have you got? You've got another one there. Is that the...
So that's our signature. So you're more than welcome to try some.
I would be happy to try some.
It's a citrus-led sort of contemporary style gin. And like
Can I ask you, should you have ice? Because I'm a bit of an iceaholic. I love ice. So should you have ice in an alcoholic drink like gin?
So it's when we get people who sort of say, oh, I only want one ice cube or two ice cubes, it's counterintuitive. So the reason you've got the Spanish with the big goblets of gin filled with ice, the more ice you actually use, the less the ice melts. And it's sort of a bit of a mind mess,
that's true.
But it's the best way to do it. So when you get a cocktail, for instance, they fill it all the way to the top with ice. Some people say, well, they're trying to con me the size of the drink. Well, they're trying to not trying to not water it down. So yeah, I would always say more ice than less.
Interesting.
Yeah, I love ice.
Then gin is your drink.
Loads of ice, yeah. And I love ice. And a bit of a grapefruit, a slice of grapefruit.
It's funny you should say grapefruit, because that is... So me and Jen, so we own the company 100%, and as couples do, you have your little bickers about what is the perfect garnish for your gin. So I would say with our signature gin, pink grapefruit is the greatest garnish for a sort of citrusy-led gin. The days of putting lime in a gin, for me, are over. Lime is a massively overpowering flavour. So I would always say, do anything to my gin, just... don't put a lime in it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Grapefruit, slice of grapefruit.
It's amazing.
My friends in my local go, wouldn't they go,
where are you going to get a grapefruit from? The bars don't really keep that behind
the
bar.
You'd be surprised, I mean, you go to the wrong bars.
Okay, fine.
My local pub, you have to come to my pub, it's very nice, in my local village, out where my place in the country, and it is, they have the best gin, not as good as your gin, obviously, but they have a nice slice of... You know, we have a grapefruit in it. It makes you really fresh, and you just think
it's just really refreshing, and it gives that sort of that dryness that lime would without overpowering all the flavours.
Okay. See, yeah, that's the thing, right? So I will have a gin and tonic. Yeah, fine. It probably wouldn't be my first drink of choice.
Thank you,
I'm a bit more of a whiskey person.
I'm not speaking to you anymore.
I'm going to grab a bit of whiskey. No,
but
I'm a gin.
But I have to say, this raspberry one is absolutely gorgeous.
Do you know what? It's perfect for the summer, and do you know what? It's been amazing the last 4 weeks. So, I mean, I'm from Manchester, and we've never seen a summer like it.
No, the
raspberry gin has been flying out, and it's a perfect way to sort of get a nice crisp drink without necking a pint of lager.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, right? And less calories.
it's better calories than wine as well.
Yeah, and beer. Yeah,
and beer. Don't get the belly.
That's true. I'm trying to fight mine at the minute. So.
When a doctor says gin's the best drink you should have, I'm going to drink.
I don't believe a doctor told you.
Go to your doctor.
I'm sorry. Wouldn't a doctor say just stop drinking?
I was drinking Met.
Have you heard the news today? The news today says that you'll get Alzheimer's if you don't drink every day. So it's
for Christ's sake.
15 units a week you've got to drink
to
not get Alzheimer's.
Oh my God, I'm going to be bright as a button at 105. Oh wow, that's nice.
That is lovely. Wow.
What is this one?
So that's our signature. So that's the citrus-led sort of contemporary style gin. Mm. I wish I'd brought our third one, which is...
See, I'm a bit of a citrusy fan. I like that.
Well,
that's it's mine and Jen's version of what we would call our perfect gin. And that's what we set out to achieve. Like I said at the start, that if you're going to fail, you might as well go down singing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is our version that would... Something that we'd sort of hang our hat
on. Actually, that's very, very refreshing on a hot summer night.
Like today?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Do you know what also I'm really into? The design of your bottles.
So that design is something we actually worked on for about six months.
What is that, a hexagon?
So basically, if you don't know Manchester, so on our logo, we've got a bee. And it's the symbol of Manchester. Sadly, it got a little bit... It was in the news, obviously, from what happened with Ariana Grande and people getting the tattoo on their arms. But it actually dates back to the 1800s.
Worker bee.
It's the worker bee of Manchester.
It's a lovely, lovely bottle.
And so if you turn the bottle upside down, you'll see there's a bee on the bottom. But basically, the hexagons are there to sort of reinforce that honeycomb and that bee connection that we have to Manchester.
I've got it now. There you go.
But that is a really light, refreshing, beautiful drink for the summer.
Yeah.
Any time of year, actually. I could drink that in the winter.
Well, in the winter.
Think of a breakfast place, can you?
So I'm trying to work. So Jen always says that the raspberry's her sort of lunchtime gin. And the signature is
maybe she needs to speak to someone.
Well, she's pregnant now, so she can't do anything.
Oh, okay.
So
congratulations.
Thank you very much.
But it's slightly sweeter, isn't it? The raspberry's
slightly sweeter. So we actually, it's called what's called an Old Tom. So it's actually got a little bit of sugar syrup in there to counteract the sharpness of the raspberry.
Hmm.
Don't worry, it's not heavy on the calories. It's only about 5 or 6 grams per bottle.
And can I ask about the calories? Because people do love a drink and they always say it's full of sugar, it's full of calories. What would be a sort of regular gin?
Well, like I say, gin starts life as vodka, so it's pretty... There's not a great gin there. The tonics probably gives you more of the sugar than anything else.
Right.
So I would personally, I think a naturally light tonic is better with most gins, not because of the sugar content. It actually gives you... a much more sort of blank canvas in which to taste the gin you're actually drinking. So if you're really trying to get into the different flavours and try and pick out the different botanicals, I would always recommend a light tonic.
Okay.
Mm.
That said, if it's sunny, a lemon tonic is the one.
And you wouldn't... Would you be a fan of just a Schweppes? That's a no.
No, the Schweppes premium range is actually really good.
Okay.
So for our second birthday, before we took all the team out, we did a blind taste test of, I think, 24 different tonics with various different ones of our gins. And the Schweppes premium range came out really, really well. So it performed really, really well.
I have to say, it's so refreshing. I'm really enjoying
the gin. You really are.
No, I'm off wine. I'm going off wine. You saw today I didn't have a wine?
Yeah, well done, babe.
I'm going off. I had loads of lunch now. I'm joking. No, the gin is going down a treat. I have to say. But well done you for doing all of this.
Well, yeah, do you know what? It doesn't seem like something that we've... It seems really weird. So me and Jen, so we live in our own little bubble anyway, and it just felt like a natural progression. So when we were originally...
I love your bubble full of gin. I want to join it.
But when we originally discovered sort of gin making, it was because we were going to open a bar in... And we were given a tour of some bars in Sheffield by a guy who owned about 10 different bars. And literally in one of his bars, he leaned over and said, "Oh, do you like gin?" I said, "Well, we love gin." And he said, "Oh, follow me." And he took us into a back room, and on a table that's no more than 2 foot by 2 foot, there was a man making gin in front of our eyes. And we, I think maybe like most people, thought that gin was made in a big factory or a big distillery with, you know, 10, 20 people tending to this huge still.
Yeah.
There was a man on a stool with no windows making gin. And that was, I suppose, a sort of light bulb moment. And we genuinely just thought, well, you know, sod it. That wasn't the word we used. We could give it a go, and that's where it all started, really.
Well, it's really impressive, and I have to say it's nice. I love the design of the bottles, the taste is gorgeous, so you're obviously doing some
it's
good
work.
It's
the perfect summertime drink, and we've got the biggest heat wave, and it's not going away.
No, it's amazing.
So get to
Manchester Gin.
No, honestly, Manchester Gin.
Yeah, if you come to Manchester now, you'll not believe that it's not always that sunny.
So, I think I probably would.
No, every time I've been to Manchester, it's rained.
Yes.
It's a lot colder.
I've only ever been to Manchester once. I went to Canal Street in the afternoon.
Oh, did you?
How was it?
I was probably about 21. I was quite drunk, and we'd just been to see Bjork. So,
oh, nice.
That's a weird afternoon.
Yeah. It was a really weird afternoon. David Attenborough doing Bjork. Yeah, he was the narrator. Anyway.
Really? Do you watch The Housewives of Cheshire, by the way? I hope they're drinking your Manchester gin.
They are, actually. So I don't actually watch it, truth be told, but I know that one of them's tweeted about us.
I don't know
which one it is. But I will be tweeting, and
I love it.
I absolutely adore
thank
it.
Thank you.
Seb, thank you so much for coming in. I'm going to drink gin all summer. This gin only.
All summer, spring, winter, autumn. It's
Manchester gin.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Okay,
all seasons. We've got it. Thank you, Seb,
so
much.
No, thank you.
Yes, thank you. It's really nice.
Thank you for the little tipple.
Thanks, yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers indeed.
Cheers.
is here. And on the line, we've got Roxanne. How's it going?
I'm so screwed that I can't be there.
It doesn't even matter how it's going with us, because we want to know how it's going with you. Because
somehow, my door has locked me in. I've broken my frame. I've tried to undo it, so I'm just currently waiting for a lockman.
It's the weirdest thing in the world to be locked in.
That's crazy.
Yes, I agree. Is this normal? Like,
oh my gosh. So you're just waiting on somebody to come and set you free, basically.
First time in my life I've ever waited on a man.
Like that.
Keep that's the only time.
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We're busy having a gossip off air.
My God, gin gossip.
I've got three drinks lined up in front of me. I mean, good Lord, what is
very
happening?
Very nice gin.
It really was.
But oh my goodness, we aren't blessed with time. We're blessed with guests.
It's a good line. Ben.
It's a good line.
We have the very gorgeous Laura Crane in from Love Island.
Hi guys,
how are you?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Great to have you here.
You must be shattered. I bet you've not stopped since you got out that island and off out the villa and. It's been crazy.
Yeah, it's been mad. We literally, Jack and I, obviously we got dumped from the island, then back to England for 2 days, and then straight back out to Mallorca Street after sun. So yeah, it's been absolutely mental. It's been so good.
They made you go all the way back to England and then came back two days later.
I think they thought more that we'd kind of have enough time to see our family, but obviously mum and dad are in Devon, so I was just up here, haven't probably been home yet, but it's good. It's all positive, so it's nice.
So what's it been like since it's finished? Like, obviously, it finished on Monday, didn't it?
Yeah.
And they revealed that the viewing figures, I mean, for the final, were absolutely through the roof. 6 million people,
it's,
4 million
but ITV2,
on TV,
it's
and then on
of.
2 million.
It really
yeah,
is. Yeah. It's crazy. Honestly, I was only in there for 10 days. And yeah. Obviously, I came out and I was like, oh, no one's really going to recognise me. No one's going to know who I am.
That
I look
is
quite
not the
normal.
Case. That
oh, my.
The,
I, the first day, went to Oxford Street and there's people running up to me asking for like photos and stuff. So, it's been crazy, like super overwhelming, but in the best way possible.
Is it a bit? I can imagine it's actually quite intimidating when suddenly you go from no one knowing you to suddenly people wanting pictures with you all the time and things like that.
It's been mad. I think the fact that everybody's been coming up and saying such lovely things and be like, oh, you did so well on there. I think that's what you're most worried about when you come out is knowing
people are just going to hate you.
Yeah, you know, you've done your parents proud and stuff like that. So it's been good.
It was good. Awesome. And it must have been quite tough for you because obviously there was Max and he was originally with Laura and then he saw you and his eyes were like, whoa, I like this lady.
Jack.
I mean, Jack, sorry. I've got Max on my head because we're talking about Max. And I mean, it must have been quite tough for you because obviously he was seeing, you know, with kind of paired up with Laura.
Yeah. I think for me as well, obviously I like walked in there and everybody was already in couples and I sort of thought, oh God, what am I going to do here? But obviously I kind of went in and that next day him and Laura kind of broke up and whatever. I had a pretty smooth ride in there in comparison to some of the others, especially Laura. But I said to them from the start, I would have never kind of actively hunted down Jack and gone for it if him and Laura hadn't finished that, because, I just wouldn't have done that.
Was that difficult? Because when you knew he was talking to Laura, was it difficult for you? Because there was that... It was that, like, she was looking over and I remember you lying there sunbathing thinking, oh, what's going on?
I actually didn't know until the next day because it happened obviously the evening when he had that conversation with her. I then went to bed and woke up the next morning and Jack had slept on the sofa and I was like, oh, this is... So he actually had to explain to me the next day what had happened.
Oh.
I was trying to be as sensitive to the situation as possible. It's hard in there. You're obviously living in a house, so you can... Whenever someone's having a chat, it's easy to, you know, kind of get annoyed with it or whatever. But, it was obviously nice for Laura that Paul kind of walked straight in and swept her off her feet. So that was really
nice.
So
it all worked out.
What do you make of Jack and Danny winning?
Amazing. Those guys are meant to be together.
It's like, but almost, it's like, weren't they like the first couple to get together and then followed the whole
but
way
Jack
through?
And Dan, they seemed like they knew each other all their lives. It was crazy. So natural.
I was sleeping, it was like our bed, then it was Jack and Danny's, and I was next to them. And you can just hear, even in the middle of the night, they'll wake up and they'll be having their little like bicker, like, Jack, move over or something like that. But they honestly, they're like a married couple. They're so good together. They're really, really good.
And because a lot of people have said, you know, they knows he was, you know, the dad, Danny Dyer, is all of that, and he didn't pass that lie detector, which was, that was so, I would just be traumatised by that thing. And he said, you know, is there an influence with the dad? Did you, you know, do you like her because of the dad? And did you feel that or
no, not? No, Jack is honestly just so smitten by her. It's so cute to see. And he almost got like a little bit upset that people were even thinking that. And Danny as well, she was worried what her parents were going to think, and she didn't want her, you know, her dad to think that that was what he was doing. But you've only got to spend 2 minutes with Jack to know just how into Danny
genuine.
Is. Yeah,
you can see it's genuine. They just
and the votes were something like, wasn't it like 79% of people voted for them to win?
So it was incredible. There
was no one really stood a chance, did they? No. Compared to that.
But were you shocked that Laura and Paul came second, because they weren't really officially a couple?
Yeah,
and they became, you know, second. Was, do you think that was because of all what Laura had been through in the past?
I think it was a mixture. She's obviously been in there from the start. She's had such a journey in there, really good times and obviously really like tough times as well. And I think just the nation just fell in love with her just because she's so relatable. She watched her get dumped twice and all these. So I think, yeah, it was really easy for everyone to fall in love with her and just want to be, you know, supporting her and building her up. So I think, you know, she did deserve to get to the final just because of the journey she had in there, and just to spend some time in there with someone she was really, really happy with.
It was very sweet.
But there has been some drama this series about set up shots and producers being involved in scenes and stuff like that, which I think most people, I certainly would have expected to happen. I'm not surprised that if something doesn't get shot right, they need to shoot it again. What's it like when you're in there? Do they interfere that much?
No, honestly, obviously it's a TV show, so there's little bits where, you know, people are helping out and things. But there is every single... You don't see anyone else in there in the day. You know, there's, you know, maybe somebody will come in.
Like Big Brother style, it's in camera runs.
Yeah, you know, like a little window will open, a camera will move direction. But there's not necessarily people like, oh, can you just, you know, it's all genuine. All the feelings are genuine. All the chats you're having are genuine and all these things. So, it's definitely real life.
I mean, did you ever feel that the cameras are watching you, you know, when you were having your intimate chats? Did you actually ever think, oh, my goodness, I need to hold back here because there's a camera watching, or... Do you think you're pretty
I think because I went in at such a late time in the show, everybody who was already in there was so used to it that it made me kind of forget that it was there as well. I think if you'd gone in at the first, like in the first kind of cast, and it probably would have been a little bit different. But because everybody else was sort of oblivious to it, then I think it kind of made me be the same and just get on with it. So
also this series, I think as well, compared to, I always think about, was it the second series that Zara Holland was in? Second series, there wasn't actually that much going on under the sheets compared to some of the previous series. What do you think that's because people are more aware of the drama that it can cause now?
I think for me personally, it was obviously seeing what had happened in the previous years, I just couldn't put my parents through that, or my little brother would have just been absolutely livid.
Mortified.
So it was definitely, for me personally, it was just like a family thing, and not being able to put them through that. And but I think everyone in there was in a similar position, just knowing how big the show is now, you just don't want that aired everywhere.
I mean, the welcome when they came through the airport, I was like, my goodness, it was like the Beatles had walked through.
Oh my god,
like,
yeah, when Jack and Danny arrived, oh my god, it was incredible.
It was incredible.
But then I think part of the problem is that there hasn't been a reality show for a while that has featured normal people.
No.
Although Danny has some level of fame, that's featured normal people, and people can get really on board with. Everything is celebrity based now, right? Like, I think that's the difference, and suddenly it's like, I remember Big Brother 15 years ago when it was as big as its biggest, and it feels very similar to that to me.
And I mean, I have to say, you did so well. You both.
Thank you.
You could tell you were both genuinely, you know, kind of just liked each other, because sometimes you don't really feel it, but with you two, you did.
Yeah.
And it just felt real, which was lovely.
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, I think even if Jack had ended up staying with Laura in there, we just instantly got on so well. We just had this connection of even just friendship, where we just have really similar personalities, with both of us just messing around, throwing each other in the pool. So I think it just, it just made it really, really easy for us to kind of progress in there.
And do you feel right from here you would like to go on and do TV work? How do you feel about the sort of reality TV stuff?
I had an amazing time. I loved every minute of being in Love Island, if I'm totally honest. Reality TV again, for sure. If the right thing cropped up, then I'd love to go on and do that for sure. That was my first experience with it, and it was so positive that I'd be crazy to say no. But definitely.
And what was your life before this then? What were you doing before this? You were only in there 10 days. It feels like a weird little holiday, right?
So before this, I was a professional surfer. Since I was 16, I traveled the world competing and doing all those kinds of bits. So it's been it was a kind of crazy way to grow up. I had to grow up really, really quickly and learn how to have my own back pretty much overnight. But it was amazing. I've traveled the world I don't know how many times and seen some things that people will maybe never see and been some in situations that maybe some people will never be in and would never want to be in.
It's scary, but, surfing. Jeepers. You've got to have balls of steel.
Yeah.
It is scary.
Yeah, for sure.
But do you think you're going to go back to that? Or
The competing side of it, I'm done with now, purely just because, obviously now I'm not really going to have the time, and serving such a massive part of my life, and when I was competing, it was kind of taking over, and I was kind of starting to resent surfing a little bit in the way that I was like, I have to get up tomorrow morning and train rather than I wanted to. Yeah. So I was...
It's tough.
Yeah, it was getting that balance. But I mean, surfing is a massive part of my life and it will always be my number
one. And how did
you
get the part for Max's video? Obviously, Max George, who's got the new track out, and you are the star on his video. And weirdly,
crazy.
I know Max and... I got sent the video and I spotted it. I said, oh my God, what a beautiful girl. And then when you were on Love Island, I went, oh, that's the girl. I was like, I know her.
It was crazy. Actually, it was like a friend of a friend who messaged me saying, oh, there's this opportunity for a music video. We need a girl surfer. I was like, yeah, sure. Like, chat to my manager. And then next thing, Max was flying over to Portugal to where I was based at the time. And we had so much fun. We honestly had the biggest laugh. And I'm super happy for him. The song's done so well as well. He's such a nice guy.
He was on the show just a couple of weeks ago.
I know.
You weren't here that week.
He is
a really nice guy and very down to earth, considering he's gone through a right roller coaster of stuff.
It's been tough. But
it's
no love interest there then?
No, unfortunately not. I do. He honestly is such a nice guy. I think he has something going. Well, I'm not really sure. But anyway, no, he's lovely. He really is. We had such good fun.
But I mean, you must have seen the downside to sort of reality TV with Megan looking into what work surgery she's had done, and were you aware of that when you went in, or when you saw her did you think, I can tell she's had this amount of money spent on herself?
Honestly, when I walked into that villa, I hate to ever say that I would prejudge someone on appearance or by what I've read on them in the media and things like that, but I did a little bit, and it's hard to when you're kind of forced to see it all the time. And honestly, the girl is the most lovely, kind-hearted girl I've ever met, with so many insecurities and things like this, which she's just done miles and miles with getting better with that kind of stuff in there. And she's ended up being one of the girls I was closest to in there, and I'm so proud of her, the way that she kind of even in that last week just kind of really came out of her shell and was honest with Wes and how she was feeling, all these things. She's beautiful inside and out, so I just wish that everybody would leave her alone with it all.
Yeah, well, it was the front page of the Sun.
I mean, it was the front page.
But she did talk about it, right? That was the difference. This was her first thing of talking about it.
But
for her, obviously, it's probably kind of weird because she's just been doing it for years and suddenly everyone's really focused on...
And the thing is, I had conversations with her in there about she was really nervous to come out because she didn't know what people were going to think of her and things like this. And I just said to her, I was like, Megs, as soon as people start to know your personality, you'll be absolutely fine. And she wasn't coming out and trying to hide anything. She's been just so honest. She's been like, no, this is me, and I'm good with that.
It's not like she's denied it, right? She has been like,
did you feel bad for Laura in some ways because she had Wes that dumped her? And then
I thought they were such a good couple to begin with.
I did as well, but she was a bit bossy with him, I thought.
She was like 10 years older than him.
Jack, and it felt like this pattern emerging with Laura. Did your hearts feel for her? Was there a bit of embarrassment in some ways?
Yeah, definitely. It was hard for me because I was going in there and kind of had my eye on Jack anyway, so it was a bit of a touch one, but she's such a nice girl, and she obviously, it is a show at the end of the day, and part of it is kind of seeing what works for you and what doesn't. And unfortunately, it did happen to her twice, which is, not great. But
it is the nature of the show. You really can't avoid it. Look at Dr. Alex. You know what I mean? That went on how many...
Yeah, his sunburn. What was that about?
I wasn't about the sunburn,
And everyone's always telling him, just put some sunscreen on, looking a bit pink. No, no, I'm good. It's not even that hot today. I'm like, no, dude, seriously, go on.
You are a doctor. Cover up. Put the sun factor on. He was so sweet. I mean,
he got a bit of hate towards the end, though, because some people felt that he was being a bit misogynistic towards the girls, right?
And what did you feel on that? And then Alexandra... That was a tough ending. Yeah, she looked really hurt, didn't she?
It was tough for me because Alex and Megan, they were my two girls that I was closest to in there. Yeah. And obviously I came in, and that was when Alex made his decision that he wanted to get to know me as well. And then that kind of was when the thing with Alexandra kind of came to an end. And stuff. So I felt ended up feeling really, really guilty for the first 2 days I was in there about that. But of course, there was nothing I could do about it. And I was super happy that they kind of then got back together and they were slowly figuring it out. And then all of a sudden, he kind of did a flip 180.
Why do you think he did that? But someone,
someone said, like, what are you doing on this show? You seem to not understand the premise. Like.
Yeah. But why was that? You were with him. You lived with him.
I think it's hard in there once you've kind of gone backwards and forwards. And then, you know, it's like any relationship on the outside. Once you've kind of made mistakes, it is hard to get back to where you were before. And Alexandra was willing to give him that second chance. And to be fair, I have got respect for Alex, Dr. Alex, as well, because he was truthful with her, okay? Maybe not maybe as early as he could have been, but he was truthful with her. And Alexandra really respects that. She's even today, I saw her this morning, she was like, I'm over it, it's fine. That ship sailed. I'm moving on, I'm good. So, no, she's fine.
Even on their date, I could feel it off him, could you? It was like, when you watch back, have you been able to watch any of the footage back?
No, not really.
Will you?
My. Yeah. I will definitely, just finding the time at the moment. But no, I will definitely.
So what else are you doing at the minute then?
Literally just landed from York, I've been into meetings and events and doing radio and all of these new crazy things, which have been just so exciting. And yeah, it's been really, really nice, but it's just been, it's been full on. It's
and who will you remain friends with in that villa?
I mean, all of the, you know, obviously I haven't met a lot of them. On Sunday, we've got the ITV, like, rap party kind of thing on After Sun. So it'll be nice to actually meet all of the Islanders rather than just the ones I met just at the end. But even this morning I met Samira and things like that. So Samira, definitely, Megan, Alexandra, all of the girls that are in there. And yeah, well, to be fair, you've lived with them for ages, so it's not like you're never gonna, you know, you're always gonna have this connection.
Yeah,
and were
definitely.
You aware or pick up anything that was going on with Caroline Flack? Because obviously her love life was sadly falling to pieces while you guys were in there.
No, I absolutely no idea of that at all.
Yeah, it was. She's got. We need to get
it's
her.
It's not going
on
very
it.
Well. Is it?
No,
she
I
could
feel
find.
For
she
her.
Could find herself a man on in Love Island next
maybe
year.
Maybe Dr. Alex. I feel like they got
yeah,
on really well.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Dr. Alex and Caroline.
I can see
good.
That happen.
Caroline Flack.
And also, Dr. he's Alex. Got his own money, unlike Andrew Brady.
So oh,
I'm just saying. Anyway.
Well, we've loved this show.
Yes.
I'm very happy it's not on anymore because it was on the same time as my own show on ITV, 9 o'clock ITV tonight. But it got the best ratings and you were absolutely charming throughout. I
thank
really
you.
Liked you.
Thank
genuinely.
You very much.
Lovely girl.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Can't wait
thank
to see
you
more
guys
of
for having
you.
Me. Absolutely, you guys too.
Lovely to see you. I'm dressed as Love Island. That's
yeah,
why
there
I
is a Love Island look to you today,
that's
base,
why
to be fair.
I dressed in the shorts.
Well, until next week, darling.
Yeah, great to see you.
Well, what are you doing after this?
I'm going with Bruno Tonioli. We're going to watch my show and have a little summer party.
Fabulous. I'm going to watch the new episode of The Kardashians. What a treat, eh?
Right over my show. Traitor.
I'll watch it on catch-up.
You're not loyal,
I promise.
As they say. Loyal. Okay.
I promise I will.
Okay, thank you. Lovely to see you, darlings.
Till next week.
Till next week.
Goodbye.
Bye. I see the moon, oh, when you're looking at the sun.